Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. And as we read, keep in mind this subject, a house of merchandise. Let's read John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now, there's always a temptation in the ministry to go after money and to make merchandise of God's people. Such was the case in Jesus' day, such was the case before that, and such is the case today. Now, under the law, there was a system of sacrifice, and the Jews could offer oxen, sheep, goats, turtle doves, and pigeons, and then also baked meats like cornmeal and stuff like that. Wine they could offer. Oil. Those things were offered and to the Lord. Partly those were done as a tithe, and other times they were done on the special feast days like the Passover, which is when Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem. At the Feast of Tabernacles, at the Feast of Weeks, these things were done. Now notice these various articles that can be sacrificed, for instance, in Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28 and in verse 18. Notice, in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. This is the Feast of Tabernacles here. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein, but ye shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Now watch what they offer. Two young bullocks, those are oxen, one ram, seven lambs of the first year, they're your sheep. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering, that's the cornmeal, shall be of flour mingled with oil. There's the oil. 3/10 deals shall you offer for a bullock, 2/10 deals for a ram. A several tenth deal shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the seven lambs, and one goat, there's the goat, for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer these besides the burnt offering in the morning, which is for the continual burnt offering. Now, that takes care of those types of animals. But then look in Leviticus chapter 12 for the dove and also for pigeons. Leviticus chapter 12 and look at verse 8. Leviticus chapter 12 and look at verse 8. If she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles, turtle doves those are, or two young pigeons for a burnt offering and a sin offering. So these are the things that the Jews were supposed to sacrifice based on the various feasts, based on the various types of offering, whether it be a sin offering, a burnt offering, trespass offering, peace offering, you know, whatever that may be. Now, they're supposed to sacrifice those things, and they were supposed to eat those things before the Lord in the place of the Lord's choosing, which in this case was Jerusalem. Now, if the way for the man or woman going to offer a sacrifice was too far for them, too long of a journey, then they were to convert the offering into money and then bring the money. And when they got to the to Jerusalem, then they could buy whatever they needed or whatever they wanted to perform their sacrifice or their vow or pay their tithe, whatever it was. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 14, and you can see this. Deuteronomy chapter 14, and look at verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 14, look at verse 22. All right, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed. Now recognize that what we're reading here deals with the tithe, but what I want you to see is the principle of exchanging the animal for money and then buying something with it when you get to the place that you're supposed to offer. Deuteronomy 14:22, then thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, that's Jerusalem, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil and of the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Now watch it. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. That's going to be Jerusalem, where the temple is. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. So there's the principle in Deuteronomy chapter 14 of taking something like this and then buying something, you know, selling it, turning it into money, and then buying something else when you get to the temple. Okay? Now, the money changers came into the temple then, converting currencies and selling stuff for the people to buy, and thereby the changers and the sellers of these things that could be sacrificed were profiting by their sales. Look again in the text that we're reading now in John chapter 2 and in verse 14, found in the temple. In the temple. They weren't supposed to be in the temple. There was nothing in the law giving them provision for these things to be done in the temple. Found in the temple, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when they had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them, that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So see, what they had done is they had gone into the temple, which they weren't supposed to do, and they had set up these areas in the temple, in the court there, to sell sheep and oxen and whatever they needed to sell in order these people needed to buy and in order to fulfill Deuteronomy chapter 14, and then they had these money changers there. Well, you know what they were doing. They were selling these things at a profit, and they were exchanging the money at a discount and a profit, just like they do in money exchanges today and in banks today and in sale barns today. And they had turned God's temple, the house of prayer, into a house of merchandise, Jesus Christ said. Now, one of the reasons that you don't want to translate the Bible into quote-unquote modern English. This stuff's modern enough as it is. You certainly understand everything. We've never gone to any modern Bible or to the Greek or Hebrew to explain anything that we've been teaching out of the Bible from Isaiah, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Romans, and now the book of John. We've never had to refer to the Greek or the Hebrew one time to get a better understanding of the text, and we've never had to go to a modern Bible, and we've never had any trouble understanding what the text says. And there's no additional light or new light or better understanding that came from a modern Bible. Now, the reason I say that is that this word merchandise shows up several other places in the Bible. And if you were to change the word merchandise into another word in order to get a better understanding or something like that, you would change the cross references that are in the Bible to help you understand the context of the word merchandise. The word merchandise is a terrible word. and only used twice in the Bible in a positive sense, the merchandise of wisdom and the merchandise of a woman who is laboring in Proverbs chapter 31 as a virtuous woman. Every time else that you see the word in the Bible, it is a negative word. And the Lord wants you to know that. Make my house, my father's house, a house of merchandise. It's a negative connotation. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, a man cannot make merchandise of a woman that he was married to by selling her to somebody else. You know, they had multiple wives back then. And so if there was somebody that they had taken captive, a beautiful woman, for instance, and that the guy desired that he would take her into captivity and marry her, and then he decided he didn't have any delight in her, he couldn't sell her, though he had gotten her in a war in captivity. He couldn't make merchandise of her person. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, there is a law that if a man be found selling any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then the thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you. That's the idea of slave trading. So there was a prohibition against making merchandise of people, people that were taken in captivity in war, or people that were stolen and sold as slaves. In Isaiah chapter 23, we find the word merchandise again. Now, I'm skipping over some of these because they are parallel references to other things that are very similar, so we'll just pick out those that are unique. In Isaiah chapter 23, Tyre has a prophecy against it, the miserable overthrow of Tyre you're reading about in Isaiah chapter 23. And what happens here is that Tyre gains a lot of merchandise by committing fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. You know, prostituting itself among its politicians and foreign ambassadors. The merchandise and the hire that Tyre gets will become holiness to the Lord. And her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. In other words, everything that was gained by doing that gets handed over to the Lord after 70 years. In Ezekiel chapter 27, we read again about the merchandise. Ezekiel chapter 27, we read again about the merchandise of Tyre. And of course, this is leading up to a reference concerning the devil himself. And in Ezekiel chapter 27, you find the word used repeatedly, how Tyre is able to gain profit and merchandise through international trade on the seas. Shipping vessels and all that kind of stuff. Stuff like we've got going on today, right down there at the port here in Corpus Christi. And what happens over a period of time is Tyre gets very proud of all of its riches and merchandise. And Ezekiel 27:34 says, "In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the water, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall." You see a case here where Tyre goes broke, literally, because the seas rage against their seamen and against their boats, their ships, their vessels, and they're destroyed. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16, we read about the multitude of the merchandise of the devil. The Lord is addressing Tyre, the prince of Tyrus, in Ezekiel chapter 28, but if you read the context carefully, you'll find that the whole thing has to do with the devil, and the devil is interested in building up merchandise. So the devil's behind a lot of this stuff, and the multitude of the devil's merchandise says they have filled the midst of thee with violence, now has sinned. So violence and sin are connected with the accumulation of merchandise. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 5, merchandise kept the man from receiving or accepting the invitation of the king to come to the marriage. It's a picture of a man losing his soul because he goes after money. Remember what Jesus said? He said, What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See? He told the disciples, "Beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." False prophets make merchandise of people in 2 Peter chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 18, verses 11 and 12, Mystery Babylon is loaded with merchandise. So you see, All these things are connected with somebody becoming filthy rich through fornication, through violence, through sin, and then eventually losing the whole thing, either by losing their soul, the devil gets cast into the lake of fire, or by being destroyed by Jesus Christ, as is the case of Mystery Babylon, or being destroyed by other countries, as is the case of Tyre, or, you know, being punished and destroyed, as in the case of making merchandise of people. The thief is killed. So it's terrible. So when Jesus Christ comes into the temple and he finds them making merchandise in his father's house, the thing is going to lead to destruction. And in fact, that's exactly what happens to the temple. The disciples marvel at the temple and remark to that, to those things, to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord prophesies that there would not be one stone left upon another. And sure enough, in 70 AD, Titus comes in for Rome and destroys the temple and literally raises it to the ground, where there's not a stone left upon another. Totally, absolutely destroyed. You should know that because of the merchandising that was going on there. As a matter of fact, when you go back to Nehemiah chapter 13 and you see Nehemiah is working there with Ezra, and they rebuild the wall and the temple during the reign of Cyrus, notice what's going on the Sabbath day in Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13, starting with about verse 15, "In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath." Well, it was against the law. But, you know, what they were interested in was money. "And bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre, you would know it, also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yes. The temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar formerly. Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be open until the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath." So Nehemiah had to chase them out of there. What were they doing? They were merchandising against God's law concerning the Sabbath. So when these guys are over here selling all this junk in the temple, they knew they were doing wrong, but they were getting away with it. And they were making money, and they thought as long as they prospered in it and they were still fulfilling the law, that it was okay. It's not okay. You know what was motivating the Pharisees to allow this thing to go on? The same thing that motivated that stuff going on in Nehemiah's day. There were people that were profiting by that. Look in Luke chapter 16 and see something about the Pharisees that, I'm sure you've read or studied before, but in this context might shed a little light on the problem. Look in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Now what's he getting at? "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is money. "And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." So what they had done, they had justified themselves in merchandising and being covetous and going after these things. And to them it was okay, it was highly esteemed among men, but it was an abomination in the sight of God. They knew what they were doing was wrong. Okay, now, When you put merchandise in God's house, you are going to have a mess. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and look at verse 14. This is a letter to the Laodicean church, the type of church that we see going on in the age we're in the church age. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, they were a working church, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, what's the problem in Laodicea? Well, here it is. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent of what? They'd been accumulating wealth in the church and thought because they were rich and increased with goods, they didn't need anything. They did. They were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And I'll tell you something. They're no different than that letter written to that church in Laodicea there in Revelation chapter 3 than the church is today. The pastors of churches are covetous today. They have devised cleverly acceptable schemes for raking your money out of your hands. And it's a highly esteemed among men, but it's an abomination in the sight of God. You see, God makes strong, stern warnings about this whole thing dealing with money. The Lord says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Listen, God didn't destroy that temple in 70 AD for nothing. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The old timers used to say, money obscures faith. Why do you think the Lord sent out his disciples without any money when they first went out and said, the workman is worthy of his hire? Let him feed you. Let him take care of you. But don't worry about all these possessions. Now, the Jews took advantage of the Jews' need to sacrifice back there in Jesus' day. They had to sacrifice, and they couldn't carry all those lambs and things all that distance, and so they brought their money and bought these things, and the changers were making money, and the sellers of the animals were making money. The Jews found a way to get rich, filthy rich, off of these people that were required to sacrifice. And you know something? Preachers today have found a way to take advantage of people's desire to give now. We don't have any requirements laid upon us like were laid upon the Jews back there in the Old Testament. But you know something? When you have God in your heart, when you have charity in your heart, when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you want to give. And preachers have found a way to take advantage of your charity, of your desire to please the Lord. They found cleverly devised schemes to suck money out of you and get filthy rich off of your desire to serve God. Listen, Jesus told us through Paul in 2 Corinthians, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Right? So we know that if the more we sow financially, the more we're going to gain in eternity and even here, in many cases, financially. And so the Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Paul wrote to us in Acts chapter 20 and said, it is better to give than it is to receive. And so preachers know that about you and have found all kinds of ways to suck that money out of you. But you know something Paul said about giving? He said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, not as the preacher purposes in his heart. So let him give, watch it, not grudgingly, oh, I have to do this because the guy's talking me out of my money, or of necessity, oh, we have these great needs. If you don't give us the money, we won't be able to stay on the air and all that other kind of junk. For God loveth a cheerful giver. This grudgingly, you know, there are people that have found a way to trick other people under a very emotional sermon to sign a pledge card for a great deal of money. And then toward the end of the year, when things are a little bit tight, they start putting pressure on there. Remember, you made a vow to God, and if you break that vow, bless God, God's going to destroy the work of your hands. You better pay up. And so the people have got to fork over the money, why, grudgingly now, because they've made some kind of a vow or pledge to the church. And I tell you what, that stuff is corrupt, most of it. These guys are coming in here and trying to finance themselves and these big ministries by doing exactly the same thing that the Pharisees were doing and that the money changers were doing when Jesus Christ showed up in the temple. And if he grabbed a scourge of small cords and drove them out of the temple and flipped over their tables of money and scattered those guys out of there because they had made his father's house a house of merchandise, just don't you worry. Jesus Christ is not pleased with a lot of what's going on in the church today. Now, what do we say this for? We say this as a warning, twofold warning. Number one, you are to give, and you are to give cheerfully, and it is better to give than it is to receive. But may I say something to you? Would you please prayerfully consider what you do with your money before you do it, and would you please check it out and make sure that the guy that is begging for your money is not some sort of a scam artist like so many of them are today. These guys that tell you you're going to build up your faith by sending them $1,000 or $2,000 or guys like Oral Roberts who said God's going to kill him if you don't give him $8 million, they're scam artists. And I wish you'd go behind those things and check those things out before you let people rip you off. And the second thing I say is God is going to judge men who have made a merchandise of the gospel. And there are many of them that have. It is a terrible, terrible thing that we see. But we've been warned in the Bible, and you've been warned by what Jesus Christ did here. Just be careful with your money. Give and give cheerfully to God's work, but be sure, please, that it's going to God's work and not to making a filthy rich preacher out of some scam artist, all right?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.